Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of Scripture which Dave just read from the lectern is a good place to begin to familiarize ourselves with some of the basic teachings of St. Paul on the high and the holy calling of the pastoral office. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Paul, the aged apostle of Jesus Christ, informs Timothy, his own son in the faith, what it means to be a pastor in the church which Jesus Christ himself is building. In these verses, Paul deals with the subject under three specific heads. First, in verse 1, he gives us the basic requirements needed to function effectively as a pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, in verse 2, Paul recognizes the necessity of and he indicates the method of perpetuating the true pastoral ministry throughout the entire New Testament era, including the last decade of this 20th century. Then finally, in verses 3 to 6, Paul gives us a 3D or three-dimensional composite picture of his own concept of the Christian pastor. What then is the basic requirement for a pastor to function effectively in the office of the Christian ministry according to the Apostle Paul? Paul simply charges Timothy, his son in the faith, as follows in the opening verse of our text. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is no such thing as a Christian ministry apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Christian ministry is the gospel ministry. It's no more than that, and it's no less than that. And the bottom line of the gospel ministry and the gospel as the word of God is the little word power, dynamis. To the Christians in Rome, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God, dunamis theou, unto salvation. And this same word power appears in the first verse of the text that we're considering. The gospel is a great power because it is specifically designed by the triune God himself to overcome a great power, the power of sin, the power of Satan, and the power of death. And we all know it takes a greater power to overcome another power. Furthermore, the gospel ministry is to manifest this power, if the gospel ministry is to manifest this power to overcome sin and Satan, the gospel minister, according to our text, must himself partake of this same power. Hence, the admonition of Paul to Timothy, be strong, my son. This then is Paul's charge to Timothy. Be strong, be strengthened, be energized, be invigorated. Literally, be dynamic or be dynamic. But how? What's the trick? What's the program? What's the method? What's the secret? No trick, no program, no method, and no secret. Paul simply commends Timothy directly to God, and in particular, to the grace of God, and more specifically, as this grace is found in Jesus Christ. And you know Paul can give Timothy this advice because this is exactly where Paul himself found the power that impelled him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. To the Corinthians, Paul said, I labor even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This grace which is in Jesus Christ is the one, and it is the only dynamic needed by the pastor as he labors with the gospel in the church of Jesus Christ. But how is this grace obtained? And where is this grace to be found? And why is the church seemingly today so powerless before the waiting world? When Paul thinks of obtaining grace, his mind immediately turns to the word of the gospel as the only means of obtaining this much needed commodity. And so Paul commends Timothy directly to the word of grace when in verse 2 of our text he tells Timothy to continue in the things which you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul. And it's exactly these words, the gospel, as we heard it from Paul, which constitutes the authentic apostolic succession which the Lord wants faithfully perpetuated and propagated throughout the entire New Testament age until it closes. Note the link in the chain spelled out by Paul in verse 2. In order to ensure the rollover of this same gospel from one generation to another, that which you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul, which is exactly what Paul has received by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul always delivers exactly what he receives. And this same message is the one which Timothy is to entrust, pass over for safekeeping to other faithful men who will walk in the steps of the same faith in which Paul walked and in which Timothy walked. And then these other faithful men, the Pistoids and Tropoids, these other faithful men will in turn teach the same gospel to still others. And on, and on, and on, and on, right into our day, and right into our age, and right into our ministry, and into our future ministry. Yes, eventually, the actors in the gospel are all in place. You're not going to be here forever, nor am I. But the gospel script is to remain exactly the same. And the new actors are called to follow the original script. The script need not be changed, the script dare not be changed, and the script cannot be changed. The one and only authentic script has been adequately, more than adequately, validated. Listen again to the great words of the apostle speaking in our text. Those things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these things and no other things commit to faithful men. Witnesses validate a testimony. And Paul's testimony is well validated, not just by the two or the three witnesses that the Lord demands, but by many witnesses, whole clouds of witnesses, which always accompany the faithful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are the witnesses in Paul's own generation. There was the witness of the prophets before Paul. And for us today, there is even the witness of the faithful church fathers who followed in the gospel as proclaimed by Paul. But more than this, there is the witness of the faithful God, whose validation is the heavenly imprimatur of his own divine inspiration upon the words of St. Paul the Apostle. What then is the resulting portrait which Paul paints of the faithful Christian character in the Church of Jesus Christ? Paul sketches this character as being a composite of three different people or three different models. In closing, we'll simply mention them. But before we mention them, we must stop and give thanks to our God that these three models are not the corporate executive model who rules the church with an iron fist from the top down, nor are they the Madison Avenue model who knows how to package a swift gospel for quick consumption, nor are they the popular actor-entertainer model who works the miracle of turning your TV set and my TV set into his huge asset. In Paul's picture of the Christian ministry, there's no room for Pope, no room for gimmick, and no room for soap. Thanks be to God that Paul finished his ministry before these models got into the act, to abuse the church, to misuse the church, to confuse the church, and to defuse the church. The three components in the picture Paul paints for us are simply these: the devoted soldier in verse 3 and 4, who's willing to sacrifice himself and suffer for the cause in order simply to please him who called him into service. The faithful minister is a soldier of the cross. He's a soldier of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he's the dedicated athlete who strives to attain the goal, but only in conformity to the rules laid down for the contest. And he plays the contest, and he plays hard, but only according to the rules set for him by another. And finally, there's a picture of the diligent farmer who works continually in the fields of harvest to bring forth fruit, which, when it is brought forth, is acknowledged first of all by him as the blessings of God upon the work of a simple man with dirt-stained hands. Our text began on an intensely personal note. You, therefore, be strong. And it concludes with a similar personal thrust. You, therefore, you, whoever you are, consider, take into your mind what I, Paul, say, and then, and only then, will the Lord Jesus Christ himself give you the understanding that you need in these great and momentous matters. God grant that we ever attend carefully to the words we heard from Paul, and God himself grant us understanding in these great and wonderful things that pertain to his church and the ministry that he calls to bless that church and to build her up in the holy faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.